Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
And the truthfulness of the Bible is dependent upon it being inspired of God. And friend, I suggest to you tonight at the very outset of our lesson related to the Bible and the Holy Spirit that if the Bible is not inspired of God, it falls beneath the level of honorable writings. Because it claims to be the Word of God, and if it is not what it claims to be, it would be a forgery. It would be a book of lies. There would be no reason to place any confidence whatsoever in anything that you read in the Word of God if it is not what it claims to be. Its very credibility would be destroyed. The Scripture says that the Scriptures were able to make us wise unto salvation. That wouldn't be so if it's not inspired of God. The Scripture claims to reveal to us the mind of God. Well, it doesn't reveal the mind of God if it's not inspired of God. And if we do not have an inspired guide from the Bible, we have no guide at all that is infallible and which is reliable. But one of the classic passages of Scripture in your Bible and mine is 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, which you hear often, and for good reason. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, the first phrase of that passage of Scripture. Now tonight I want to show to you what is the nature of this inspiration and the role of the Holy Spirit in inspiring the Bible. Now in a sense, the Bible, along with some other things that we shall mention, is a blending, I suppose it is more accurate to say, it is a combination of both the human and the divine. There are several things of which we read, there's a blending or a combination of the human and the divine. Jesus Christ here upon this earth was certainly a combination of the human and the divine, was he not? Emmanuel, God with us, the Word became flesh. The Lord's church is a combination of the human and the divine. God intended it. God designed it. God developed it. God produced it. God established it. Christ reigns over it. But it's composed of people who are human beings. So there is the combination of the human and divine in the church. The same thing is true concerning the home. God is the originator of the home. But the home is made up of people, human beings. And so the Bible is also a combination of the divine and the human, because God chose man to record God's will for man. God chose to reveal himself to man in language that human beings could and did speak and understand. And the word inspiration literally means God breathed. And that certainly emphasizes the source of the words which we read in the Word of God. The writers of the Bible, therefore, were inspired of God as they wrote. And what they wrote came from God and not just from themselves. Man, the human element, was certainly involved in the composition and the writing of the Bible. But inspiration, what do we mean by that? It is that divine and miraculous illumination and guidance of the human mind. God overshadows, God overpowers, God controls the mind of the human being. And this he did of the minds of those who wrote the Bible, and therefore the Bible is properly called the Word of God. Now, the Bible is an inspired revelation. And I want to draw a distinction here between inspiration and revelation. All revelation is not necessarily divinely inspired. Men can reveal things to other men. If this morning you woke up and you were a little bit groggy and you hadn't had your coffee yet, and I know if you hadn't, you were still groggy, and someone told you this is Sunday morning, they revealed something to you. Now that's a revelation. Simply the telling of something, that's a revelation. Not everything that is revealed to man has come from God. I don't want to be overbearing in this or belabor it too long. If you go to the garage with a knock in your car and the mechanic looks at it a while and he says, now you've got thus and so wrong. He's given you a revelation. And if he keeps on going, he may be right and he may be wrong. Whatever it is, it's going to cost you your leg and your arm. But just the same, he told you something. Now, God has told us something. But divine revelation comes as a result of inspiration. And the Bible claims to be a divinely given revelation. Now, folks, there are several theories that have been concocted by men, scholars, theologians, religionists, clergymen, about inspiration. And we need to be aware of these theories, lest we be led astray from the real truth about inspiration, and lest we fail to comprehend and understand what the Bible really is. The danger of these theories is that there is an admixture of truth and error. And when there is a mixture of truth and error, it is more easily accepted. It is deceptive. And it can be deadly. Something that a lot of us sometimes do not understand is that there is no such thing as an acceptable mixture of truth and error. It can kill. People sometimes talk about certain churches, certain preachers, certain doctrines and so forth. Well, they do a lot of good and they preach a lot of truth. That's right. But there is also an admixture of error, and that error can kill you spiritually. We're told that rat poison is 98% digestible by the human being without any problem. Now, I'm not going to check it out, but that's what they say. 2% of it is what kills the rat. So you see, it's not safe to have an admixture of truth and error. Now, I want us to look at some of these theories that men have concocted. You know, you go to some religious people, some religious leaders today, and ask them, do you believe the Bible to be inspired? Yes. They'll tell you yes. And then you have a great comfort. You feel you have something in common with this man. We got common ground upon which we can work. Not necessarily. Because if you go further and ask them, do you believe the Bible to be the very Word of God? They say, no. Well, now, how can that be? That sounds at first very inconsistent and contradictory to claim the Bible to be inspired, but yet not the Word of God. It's because they don't mean by inspiration what the Bible means by inspiration. Herein is one of the tools of the devil and one of the weapons of false teachers. And we need to be careful and mindful of this, brethren. They will take Bible terms to convey anti- and unbiblical concepts. Oh yes, they say the Bible is inspired. What do they mean by that? They mean that the Bible has been written by writers who were inspired, just like some poet was inspired to write a poem, or some composer was inspired to write a piece of music. The one that wrote America the Beautiful, and that is indeed a beautiful song, isn't it? It just sort of makes you want to wave the flag and everything. Proud you're here. That was written by a person as he stood up on Pike's Peak and looked out over the vastness of the prairie and the mountains there and he was motivated and inspired to write that great song. And that's all they mean by it. Here is one who has written a play. Some experience motivated him maybe to write that. Some emotion that he wanted to express, and so he composed or wrote some novel. To them, the thoughts of the Bible are simply the thoughts of men. No more. But men who were moved, who were motivated, who were inspired by certain situations in their lives to write as they did. You got a songbook. I can bring one up here. You got a songbook. Don't need it. Wasn't going to use it, but I won't. Nearly every one of those songs were written by inspiration. Not divine inspiration. The person that wrote them, maybe the music or especially the sentiments of the song, they had just gone through some tragedy in their life. They had just read about some event in history or maybe some great elation and success, and they expressed themselves. And one theory of the inspiration of the Bible is that this is what it is and no more than that. Therefore, it is not the mind, the expression of the mind of God. It's simply the expression of the mind of the people that wrote it. Now, folks, that's not what the Bible teaches about its own inspiration. But you need to be aware. Don't be gullible and accept a person who says, I believe the Bible's inspired. Inspired how? That's a very important statement and a very important question. But there are others, and they take a rather extreme view and think that inspiration is somewhat like this. Here's a man who's a business executive. He has a secretary, a stenographer. He calls her into his office, and he begins to dictate a letter or some document that he wants to produce. And every word, and every thought, and everything about it is totally his. The stenographer, the writer, simply took down what he said. Now, some say that's the production of the Bible, and that's the way that the Bible came into being. That fails to take into consideration the nature of the Scriptures that we find, however. The style of writing of the Bible indicates that it was written by a number of different people. Not just one, but a number of different people. Now, back to the business executive and his stenographer. He may have a whole fleet, a whole six or seven stenographers maybe, and he gave each one of them a letter, but the style of all of those letters would be the same because they were simply taking down verbatim dictation what he gave. But that's not the way the Bible is. If God simply called in these writers and dictated to them what to say, then there would be only one style of writing. God's style of writing. And there wouldn't be any element of the human injection into the styles of writing whatsoever. Yet when you study the Bible, there are a number of styles of writing. Those who are more astute and trained in the understanding the styles of writing can discern styles of writing. Now, there are some people whose articles that I have read so many times on many different subjects, almost I could tell who wrote it by some of the phraseology and some of the comparisons and some of the ways to go about it without even seeing the author's name because I've seen it so many times. And then there are others who will write in different ways, and preachers preach in different ways, and people have different ways of going about things. And such is true of the Bible. Now, there are portions of the Bible that are simply dictated. For instance, the book of Revelation mostly is a book of dictation. But the different styles of writing strongly indicate that humanity was involved in the production of the Bible more than just being a stenographer taking dictation. So we should not look upon the Bible, at least for the vast portion of it, as simply a book that's been dictated. That is not the nature of the inspiration of the Bible. Then there's another view. And we have to be careful about this view because this view is very, very prominent in the religious world. And that's the view that God gave man his thoughts and he allowed man to express those thoughts the way man wanted to express it. Now, that would certainly accommodate and explain the different styles of writing, wouldn't it? If I gave Joey some thoughts, and gave Bob some thoughts, and gave Lynn some thoughts, and I said, now you put down those thoughts in your own words, you could tell which was Lynn's, and which was Joey's, and which was Bob's. Is that what the inspiration of the Bible is? Friend, if that's the nature of inspiration, and you can see this simply, then what we have in the Bible is simply what some men thought God meant. What you have is some man's interpretation of God's thoughts. You have to wonder, did he understand it correctly? Did he interpret it? Is it proper? Did he fully and adequately express the mind of God? Is the Bible nothing more than what some man thought God thought? Now, this is called thought inspiration. And this is the philosophy behind the production of nearly all of these modern speech perversions, so-called versions of the Bible. Those who have produced them, they'll change something here, they'll change something there, they inject something there, they pull it out there. They don't think they're doing anything wrong. They think the thought is there and they're expressing that thought in whatever words they choose to express it. And they even say so in the preface of these books, that those who have produced this book have as best they can produced what they think God meant. Let me tell you something. I don't want my eternity to be determined whether heaven or hell, to be judged and to be governed by what some man may have thought God meant. That's nothing more than a commentary on God's Word. Is the Bible nothing more than man's commentary? This is the prominent, dominant idea of inspiration in the religious world today about the Bible. That's the reason people don't have much respect for it. And it is specifically the kind of theory that the Apostle Peter punctured. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. That which we read is not some man's interpretation of what he thinks God thought. For the prophecy came not of old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So that is not inspiration. And I plead with you, brethren, be careful. When you study a commentary, you recognize this is what some man thought the passage means. When I preach, I am preaching to you my commentary. Isn't that right? And you would not be so foolish as to compare my words with being the actual word of God. You know better than that, and I do too. So it's not thought inspiration. It's not man's interpretation of God's thoughts. Here is the truth of the Bible about the inspiration of the Bible and what was taught in the first century. Every thought did indeed come from God. Now, no question about that. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 2, beginning with verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God, for without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you." We've already noted 2 Timothy 3 and 16. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Not only is the thought from the mind of God, But every word that is used to express that thought was approved by deity. Therefore, it is inerrant and it is infallible. And it is complete in expressing the mind of deity. This is what is meant by the phrase verbal plenary inspiration. That's what the Scripture is. It is God's thought verbalized in words approved of God. We'll talk about that a little more in a minute. Plenary, completely, wholly, all of it being of that nature. Now, when God did that, He used the talents of the writers. He used the vocabularies of the writers. He used the styles of the writers. He oftentimes even used the experiences of the writers. And this explains the difference in styles of the Bible. He used the talents of Paul and Paul's vocabulary and the way Paul would say things. And he overshadowed Paul as Paul presented God's thought. Paul didn't decide what words to use. He used it from his pool of language. But God superintended that. When he used Peter, the same thing, or Joshua, or Moses, or whoever else of the Psalm 40 writers of the Bible. I want us to notice some passages along that line. I've already read to you how that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught." Then he said, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." And then he said, "Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Here is where we have the relationship of the Holy Spirit to the Bible. My dear listening friend, it was the person of the Holy Spirit and through the Holy Spirit that deity guided, informed, directed the writing of the Bible from the styles, from the vocabulary, from the experiences, from the peculiarities that characterized the various writers. The Holy Spirit was the divine person that attended to that work. In Acts chapter 28 and verse 25, "Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers." Isaiah had something to say. It was the Holy Spirit through Isaiah that said whatever it was that Isaiah had to say. And the same thing is true over and over, is borne out to us in Scripture. Now, sometimes the writers of the Bible would write of things that they had personally experienced. I get very perturbed and I get very upset and I get angered when I read from some commentary. Somebody writes about some verse, and they will say, "Likely, Luke could have learned this from Paul, because he traveled with Paul. And this is probably his source of information." Well, it could be that some of the things that Luke wrote in the book of Acts, which tells a great deal about the work of Paul, you know, that Paul could have told him about some of those things. But let's not impugn the inspiration of the Bible. Whatever experience Luke wrote about, the Holy Spirit chose the experience. If he wasn't familiar with the experience himself, the Holy Spirit informed him of the experience. And the Holy Spirit guided and selected from his vocabulary how to verbalize that experience. It all came from deity. Luke wasn't just writing of what he happened to remember. Some commentators talk about Matthew writing about the life of Christ. And you'll come across, in essence, such phrases as this: Matthew may well have recalled this event and told us about it. But Lord, brethren, that's not so. He may well have recalled that event. But why is it there in Matthew? It's not because Matthew chose to record it. And it's not recorded according to the infallible memory of Matthew. It's there because the Holy Spirit, the person of deity, selected what Matthew was going to write about. He selected how Matthew was going to write it. He used the talents and the qualities of Matthew to do it. He used the vocabulary of Matthew to express it. And he overshadowed the verbalization of every single word that recorded it. It is the Word of God, not the Word of Matthew. Even though the element of the human being was certainly there. And in those situations where the human writers could not know things by experience, for instance, the creation. Nobody could have written about that from human experience. And the writers often wrote of situations they were not there. They often told about things that would be in the future when they could not possibly be there and would not be there. In those instances, the Holy Spirit not only informed them of the information, but from their vocabulary selected the words that would reveal that information and overshadowed them and saw to it that it was inerrantly and infallibly written and recorded. Therefore, it is the Word of God. Though He used the human element to bring it about. And the Holy Spirit is that divine person that attended to that. This is one of the unique roles of His work. To further show to you that the Bible is inspired of God, such writers as Moses and Joshua and David and Solomon, in fact, all of the prophets, none of them claimed that they wrote of themselves. They all claimed that they were given the Word of God. They repeatedly emphasized that the Word was given unto them by and through the Spirit. I think it is exceedingly interesting to note how that the Jews divided the Old Testament, the oracles of God that had been committed to them. They didn't divide it like we do, though it's the same content, the same passage, the same revelation. We sometimes divide the Old Testament into the books of law and the history and the poetry and major prophets and minor prophets. They divided it into law, prophets, and psalms. And they had some 27 books. Those 27 books contained the same information, however, that we have in our 39 books. Just a different way of dividing it. And it's very interesting in Luke 24 and verse 44 how that Jesus Christ placed His divine stamp of endorsement upon the way that the Jews divided the Old Testament, which simply showed that Christ considered what the Old Testament contained and what the Jews recognized the Old Testament contained to be the Word of God. And friend, you can't dismiss with Moses and the prophets and the Psalms without dismissing the infallible knowledge of Jesus Christ as to what is, was the Word of God. When you come to the New Testament, 45% of the words of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the words of Jesus. 10% of those words are direct quotations from the Old Testament. Christ often referred to the Old Testament and as the Word of God. When Jesus gave information or inspiration to the New Testament writers and the apostles, He said, "For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father that speaketh in you." They didn't write of themselves. They didn't choose what experience to write. They didn't decide, "I believe I'll tell about this," and then tell about it to whatever extent and to whatever measure that they thought was best. That is not the way we received this document. But God chose what was to be recorded. God chose the words of the writers as to how it be recorded. God saw to it that deity's mind was revealed adequately, fully, completely in that which was given. He used the human element but it was overshadowed and inspired of God. And there can't be any doubt about the claim of the Bible about its divine inspiration. And the Holy Spirit, the point of this lesson is this, with relation to the Bible and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that person of the Godhead that attended to that particular work. Now, we've learned several things today, I trust, about the Holy Spirit. Friend, we need to realize, and I'm summarizing now and coming in for a landing. The Bible is all important to New Testament faith. The Bible is all important to our hope. The Bible is all important to us as a guide. If it's not inspired of God, we have no more reason to turn to the Bible than we would the Methodist discipline or the Baptist manual or something that you would write or I would. You would have no more authority than anything else if that's all it is according to some of these theories. It is because the Bible has come from God that it is authoritative, and we had best give heed to it. Yes, God used human beings, their words, their styles, talents, and experiences to express His thoughts. And He miraculously oversaw and guided what was written, and what was written, to see that it was infallibly done and fully adequate to make man acceptable before God. Today we've learned that the Holy Spirit is one of the three persons that make up deity, or the Godhead, or Godhood. We've learned that the Holy Spirit is indeed a person with all of the personal attributes, just like the Father and the Son, co-equal and co-eternal with the other two members of the Godhead. We've learned that the Holy Spirit was present and involved in both the creation of the physical world and also the spiritual world, and particularly the spiritual kingdom. We know that the Holy Spirit is prominently mentioned in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And we know that the Holy Spirit is the one through whom the Scripture has been given unto us. But friend, the Holy Spirit has told us how to be saved. The Holy Spirit has told us how to receive forgiveness of sins. The Holy Spirit has told us how to get into Christ. The Holy Spirit has told us what to do through the Word that He has given. When we read and study the Bible, that's the Spirit teaching us. You needn't expect some small voice, some strange experience, something to move you in some mystic way. It's not the way the Spirit works. The Spirit has already produced the Father's will, and is recorded for us in its completeness and adequacy. And He teaches us that we must put our faith, trust, and confidence in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, and obey His will to repent of our sins, confess our faith in Him, and to be baptized into Christ. That's the word of the Spirit. Having done that, to walk in newness of life, faithful before God, that's the direction of the Spirit.